Grant, O Lord, that through the written word and through the spoken word, we may behold the living word, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Do please sit down. Well, I'm not sure whether Simeon really knew what was going to happen that day. We know he'd been waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Jewish storyteller late David Kossoff, tells a story about a friend of his, or the story about a man who worked in the temple, one of the junior priests, who knew Simeon and was impressed by him and didn't think that he was mad and had lost his marbles a bit, as some people possibly did. And he knew that Simeon believed he was going to meet God's chosen one, the one who would deliver Israel that day. And so watched Simeon as he was by the place where families brought young children to be blessed. And was looking for who the upright person would be who would deliver Israel. And was astonished to see Simeon actually take a baby from one of these young families, a very ordinary working class family, and hold it and bless it and say to the mother, this child was destined for the rise, for the fall and rise of many, and a sword will pierce your own soul. Well, that's not quite what a young mum would want to hear, really, is it? And if you were to have heard a Mothering Sunday sermon, oh, any time from the 1850s to the 1950s or the 1960s, if you didn't really do it before that, you would have heard an ode to the ideal of mothering, a woman who is always at home, waiting for her loved ones to need her, always gentle, always thoughtful, distant from her own sort of needs and passions, as only the ultimate source of safety and nurture of her children. Her only fault might have been that she actually worried for us, the angel of the house, the imagination of what perfect motherhood was, the ideal, but it was a very narrow imagination. We'd also hear the story quite correctly, which is how the Sunday came to get its name, of how servant girls and women were allowed to go home on that Sunday in preparation before Easter, to go and visit their families, to return to their roots, to keep their connections with the place in which they were nurtured. Things have changed quite a lot since then. We've lost quite a few stereotypes. Women's actual lived experience is noted, and motherhood is not always sweetness and light. And society will hear different stories of women with their various passions and gifts who approach mothering in very different ways. And stories from women who don't want to be mothers or who can't for one reason or another. So Mothering Sunday sermons became a bit more nuanced, recognising that the cliche doesn't work for everybody. And it would include, hopefully at times, recognition of the fact that for some women, Mothering Sunday is one of the most difficult Sundays of the year, and a Sunday sometimes when they don't go to church because it's too painful, or they don't fit the imagination. So what can we say in church on Mothering Sunday today? Well, the thing that has gathered us all here is Jesus. That's the reason we are present. So what does Jesus have to say for Mothering Sunday, for mothers, for families, to all of us? Well, Simeon had prophesied that a sword will pierce your soul. So let's fast forward to the end of Jesus' life, from the baby to the Jesus hanging on the cross. It's actually one of the other alternative gospel readings that we can have on Mothering Sunday. Woman, Jesus says to Mary, here is your son, indicating not himself, but his friend John. And to John, Here is your mother. Behold your mother. The two people closest to Jesus, and also the women gathered around the cross. If you read the gospel accounts, it appears that except for John, all the rest of the male disciples had made themselves scarce. Probably with some reason, you know. It's easy enough for the Romans to execute a few more people, so don't draw attention to yourself. Even in this most challenging and difficult moment of his life, Jesus notices his own mother. Even when he's doing the most important act in the whole universe, he notices her. And it would have been hard for Jesus to speak any words from that cross, which is why there are so few. Because when you're hanging from your arms, the effort of getting air into your lungs to speak would be excruciating. He squeezes out the last things he wants to say before he dies, things that are too important to be left unsaid. And it's surely every mother's nightmare, standing helpless to intervene, when the child that you held in your arms, who you bore in your womb, who you nurtured, who you helped to walk, to speak, you fed, you dressed, you looked after, there is alone and in agony and about to die. Just as Simeon had prophesied that a figurative sword was going to pierce her soul, in a very short time, a real literal sword would pierce his side. The agony of a mother standing by the cross, and the agony, as we see on our news today, of mothers in Gaza. Mothers having to bury their children. A mother who had struggled for years to give birth, eventually through in vitro fertilization, and her husband and her children are now dead. But something very important is actually happening in this gospel passage, something that we can overlook if we're not careful. Here, Jesus is creating the first Christian community. We normally think of this happening at Pentecost, but no, he's doing it now. He's saying to John, she's to be your mother now, and to Mary, he will be your son. He was not her son, and she was not his mother. But this is what it is to be. Two people left alone by his death were to form a community. And I can assume that the other women gathered round the cross were also included in that statement. Something new is to happen. Even in the darkest moments, Jesus comes to us and makes a new place of nurture and hope. When most of the disciples are scattered, Jesus, like a mother hen, gathers those whom he loves under his wings. As he said in his ministry, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who stonest the prophets, how I would have comforted you as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you would not. And it's more than a kind provision for a broken-hearted mother and friend. Jesus is here reimagining what mothering and family is all about. He's outlining a new way to think. In Jesus' imagination, family is not merely about biology. Our understanding of blood relations becomes different. Now Mary and John and the others around are gathered now in a covenanted relationship through Jesus. An entry to the family of Jesus is not by biology, but by the blood of Christ. And the church sometimes lives up to this model, that we are a family, that we are a group who are not a biological family, but linked through the blood of Christ. Many will tell you, and I've experienced a little of it myself, you travel to a totally different culture and you worship in a different place, sometimes in a different language, and you're accepted because you are part of the body of Christ. You have been made family. And there are many people in our society who long to come into a group that accepts and enables them to be family. We had a clergy training day during the week, and he's pointing out, among other things, that it's not that difficult to get a lot of contacts in a church of people who you're in touch with. But the next stage is acceptance, of them really being accepted as part of your family group. I've often wondered whether we actually ought to stop using the word family often in churches, particularly if we talk about family services, because in many ways the family is the most dangerous place for people. The number of people who take their own lives because of tensions within the family and their immediate relations is quite high. The number of people who've actually find the relationships so warping and poisonous that they have difficulty living their lives in the rest of the world. But we are called as a church to model something different. There isn't another word for it. We have to call ourselves family because that's what it is. But it's going back to our roots. It's recognizing the fact that so often in our nuclear society we've become disconnected from the wider society. You've just got a small nuclear family. Really, I'm going to say James should be saying this, as African saying, that it takes a village to raise a child. James probably knows where it comes from. I've just heard it so often. And it's quite true. It takes a community to raise a child, and it can take a congregation to raise a child. And it's incredibly valuable to rediscover our roots, because so many of us are disconnected from our mother place and we lack roots, and we look to find ways to make a place of safety and welcome for other people. But the temptation is to pull up the drawbridge and just look after ourselves, and that's the kind of thing that leads to panic buying, to growing fear, to spiritual and emotional as well as physical isolation. It destroys us. I have very warm memories of the congregation when we were in a church in Derby, of the children, and there were quite a number of children involved, would relate to any number of other adults as family. There was even one humorous occasion when we had deeply offended our eldest son on leaving home up before he'd had his breakfast, and food was always very important to David, because actually there was a church breakfast, I think for harvest actually, I can't remember what the service was. Anyway, he wasn't impressed with this, so he decided he was going to go and join another family for his breakfast in church, which was fine, because the option was there, and it was possible, and he was accepted. Mothering Sunday is about place, knowing where we're rooted and what gives us life. It's a place for starting from and returning to. In the ancient tradition of Mothering Sunday, you return to the place that mothered you, where you grew. And so going back to Jesus on the cross and how Jesus creates the first Christian community, even while hanging on the cross, even in its darkest moments, Jesus can come to us and make a new place of nurture and hope for us. And all we have to do is cooperate, to listen to him, and as John did with Mary, do what he says. Parenting is not simple. The one who bore us may be the one who fails us, even betrays us, or the one who's died or has left us. But all love has its source in the immeasurable love of God. All consolation comes from God through being loved. And that reading from 2 Corinthians, that New Testament reading, is quite startling and breathtaking, as St. Paul is honest in his suffering and his failure that nearly destroyed him. And the consolation or comfort or hope, they have similar meanings. consolation that comes from the support of other Christians, and the consolation that comes from his support from being one in Christ, in God. We don't know exactly how Paul looked for his consolation and comfort. We do know it was partly through the churches that he ministered to, for they ministered to him as well. And to find our own consolation, we must find it in God. And it's not a case of pretending, of faking it until you can make it. It's not a question of giving the impression to everybody round about us that we've arrived and we're consoled and we're one in Christ and we're very happy in Jesus and everything works perfectly for us. No. It's a question of seeking until you find, of knock until the door is opened, to come to God looking for the means for us to console the frightened, the panic-stricken, the panic-buying, the fearful, and those around us who are alarmed at living in our world today. In all the current troubles in our world and society, and it is a very troubled world at the moment, looking inwards will only reveal the limits of our own resources and lead us into deeper fear and selfishness, and of nations acting only in their own interest and not in the interest of others. But acting in love as found in Jesus will do the exact reverse. As we look out from people, ourselves, we can enable others to find their place in and their place of nurture. Maybe not a historic place, but a place where they meet God and find his consolation. A couple of practical things. If you're feeling a lack of connection with your mother or your children today, Jesus is reaching out to you. As Jesus reached out to Mary from the cross, how much more is he reaching to you and me, who are now his family, as he sits in glory? Share your sorrows. Share your sorrows with Jesus, and be comforted and consoled. Or you're feeling desolate today. Christ is the mother who gathers as chicks under her wings and creates new life. So who is near to you today who Jesus might be wanting you to invite as family? Is there a mother on your street? Is there an unloved child near to you who you could reach out to with the love of Jesus? And in being their consolation, we find our own consolation. As we share our consolation, the mother love of God enfolds them. And as we love the poor, as we give to the food bank, as we call on someone who's isolated or do their shopping, pray with them, for them, either with them or from a distance, we find that we are deeply comforted by our own gift of consolation. So on this Mothering Sunday, such small acts of love make new communities. Such small consolation creates hope in times of sickness. And we find God and know our call and drive out fear. Fear among us, and fear in the community. May the love of Christ enfold us and console us. Amen.